Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Normally, we have a time so that people can speak. And so if there is someone that would like to speak, we'd like to for you to come up right now. I know. I knew our little Debbie wanted to say something, so I need a microphone.
Yes.
Okay. This is one of my favorite ladies. I hope you know that.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
About 3 weeks ago, my family, Terry and Linda, took me to see my vascular surgeon. And I wasn't getting enough blood down my left leg, just below the knee into the foot. So he did an ultrasound, and it turned out where I went through, actually I was outpatient. I had 3.5 hours of surgery done on Thursday, 4 hours recovery, and I'm fine. What he did is he went in to take a look. They did angioplasty, plus I had a lot of calcium buildup in my leg and knee. So they roto-rooted me. They cleaned it all up, and then they inserted the balloon, and then they also put a stent in me. And here I am today. And I just want to thank everybody for all of your kind thoughts and prayers. Thank you so much.
Okay. She wants to keep talking. Anyone else have a word for the church or a testimony of any kind? This is your chance. Marianne, all right.
I had surgery 2 weeks ago. They took out a lump in my breast. They tested it, and on Friday I got the results. The lump was taken out. All of the margins were clean. The 6 lymph nodes they took out were clean. They said no cancer, and there will be no radiation in Jesus' name.
You gonna handle it?
Hi, guys. One of the things that God's been sharing with me is He wants you to imagine. Imagine being healed, set free, and being loved. By His loving kindness is where we find repentance. And His repentance is only turning around our mindset. So we know that He loves you so much, that He is out there for you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But first we need to ask Him, what are your desires? Ask the Lord, what does He desire for you? That He would open doors for you. Because a door, and He'll give you that key to open it. And the key is to spend time with Him.
Okay. Are we good? We're good. As always, every first Sunday of the month, we have corporate communion, and that's where we're going to step into right now. Your servers will be handing out the elements. We ask that you would hold on to them until everybody's served, and then we'll take the communion together. While they're doing that, I do need to, I know you know, but remind you that first Sunday is corporate, but every other Sunday, we always have communion set up in the back of our table there for you to personally step up there with your family, by yourself, with friends, however you would like. But we value communion in this house. And word tells us that that we are to do it in remembrance of what Christ did on the cross. And so I hope that it's not just on Sundays that you remember, I hope that every moment of your life you see the wonderful, wonderful Jesus that is in our lives. And so when you come to this place, as I said earlier, have freedom to worship, to praise. Understand that what we're doing in the next few minutes, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to participate in sharing the body of Christ and sharing the symbols that we use for his body and his blood that was shed just for each one of us. So we'll just take a few moments to allow for the elements to be passed out, and then we will take communion. I think I need another one. I don't want to spill it all over me. Ay, ay, ay. I think my wife really meant to do that. I guess I haven't been nice lately. Notice, as soon as she got it, she took it apart. Yeah, that's what it was, right? Needed some muscle behind it. Anyway, I think we're all there. So, as I said, we look at this as a privilege to share. And as Paul reminds us that this is to remember. And so, as I said earlier, after the Last Supper, they went and he went to the garden. Quite a time for Jesus. And so, not only would we remember his place on the cross, but I pray that you remember his time in the garden as he's talking to his daddy and wondering if there's not another way. But his will be done. Isn't that what he said? Not my will, but your will. And I pray that you guys are in that place, the Lord's will and not our will. So in remembrance, take the bread. And that reminds us that his body was broken. He gave up everything so that we would not be broken, that we would have healing in our bodies, that we would be whole. And in the same way, he told him to take the cup, which was the symbol of the blood that he shared. Take the cup. Blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins, to cover everything we've ever done. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that and pray that every breath we take, Lord, we remember what you did, Lord, and what you're doing today. In Jesus' name, thank you. When your servants come, just pass them on to the sides and they'll pick up your cups. So, how many here today would describe yourself as a spirit-filled, born-again Christian? I was hoping I would get that kind of a reaction there. Or else I guess I was in the wrong church. I was going to say, I think I went in the wrong place here. But I hope that that's the realization of where you are today. But the question is now, what does it mean to you? What does being born again, filled with the Spirit, what does it mean to you? Does it mean salvation, a loving relationship with God, the Holy Spirit working in and through you? Well, of course, the answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. But there's so much more. There is so much more that he has for us. You know, the moment we were born again, there was an unquenchable thirst, an unquenchable passion for loving Jesus. We could never get enough or give enough of that love. And now that's a good place. That's a good place to be. But it wasn't intended for us to just remain in that place. He has so much more for us. He wants to reveal himself in unimaginable ways, that we would see ourselves as he does, a true reflection of his son. And so we have a choice to remain where we are or to submit to the Holy Spirit as he transforms our hearts and renews our minds. And by the way, that's, if you haven't noticed in your little bulletin there, that's the title of my message, Transform Hearts and Renewed Minds. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that every day you are new, Lord. Every day you have a new thing for us, Lord. Every day, Lord, you are there to lead us, to teach us, to just spend time with us, Lord, that we could enjoy just the presence, Lord, that just is at our access, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that this day, Lord, whatever words come from my mouth, Lord, that would have been from your heart to my heart and to those that I'm speaking to today, Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. So, change. Who would like to see something change in your life? And no matter where we are, wherever our journey, what part of our journey we are today, there's always something that we notice, that we see, that needs a change. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. God doesn't want to leave us where we are. But if anybody would say that we don't need change, everything's perfect in their lives, really, we could trade places right now and tell us how you got there. Because I know for my personal, there's so many things that God has shown me that I thought I had together and didn't. So I want to start off with 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 19. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new one is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So when we said earlier, born again, that's exactly what took place. We are a new creation. And today you have two birthdays. You have two birthdays that took place. The first one, you didn't have much choice, right? Daddy and mommy just said, hey, we're going to have a kid. And there you were. And so we didn't have much choice in that one. But we did have a choice on our second birth. That was something that there was a drawing, a reason. There was something in us that said, I need something different. Now, we might have messed up our old life. Have you ever wished or said, man, if I could just do that over again? Or I wish I wouldn't have done that. And there's things that we've done in our past that even to today, even though we're walking in this Christian atmosphere and we've got all the support in the world, and there are things in our past that still haunt us to this day. Things that we did. Things that we wished we would not have done. But that's the point of this message today, is that those things have no place in us. They have no place. They were for that old guy, that old man that we've been trying to put down for all these years. It's not, if you're a new creation, isn't that exactly what it should say? It's a new you. You weren't revamped. You weren't redone. You were recreated. You are a new person. And now we can begin a new life under a new master. We've been given a new beginning. And that's kind of where we need to focus on today. That beginning, put aside that end. And you cannot go forward if you keep bringing the past with you. Okay? You've got to leave that behind. You say, that was that old guy. That was a guy that messed up his life. That was that guy that wished he wouldn't have done it. But from that day when you said, Lord Jesus, I'm yours, he forgot all about that, right? Now it's our turn. It's our turn to keep doing that. We are made righteous in the eyes of God. Every sin forgiven, past, present, and future. We now have the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide us. And unlike before, when we followed our own desires, and, you know, even then we thought we had it together. I know I thought I was the smartest 17-year-old that there was, you know. Some adult tried to talk to me about something. What do they know? They're old. You know, at 17, you got it together. Right? Wrong. Yeah. No, we don't, but we sure think we did, and I did. And I think I can speak for most of us. You know, there's nobody that can tell us until we walk through it, and sometimes we have to walk through it. Don't we wish sometimes that we could talk to our kids and that we say, well, you know, you shouldn't do this because we went through it, and we don't want them to go through the things that we had to face, right? But guess what? Most of the time, they're going to have to walk through it themselves, and all we can do is just walk with them, just as our Lord walked with us. Now we walk with our kids and support them and try to speak into their life and hope that somewhere along the line, something we said will stand out. That's our job. And I hope we do it well. Now, some of our lives were falling apart. And I know we all have our stories. But there came a time when we realized that we needed Jesus. And found that he had been there all along. He had been there waiting, watching us walk through things that, just like I said, he wished we wouldn't have walked through it. He was probably saying, if you would just hear me, you wouldn't have to go through that. You didn't have to walk through that, whatever it was, whatever your story is. Just like us as parents, we try to tell our kids, Jesus is trying to say the same thing through his Holy Spirit. Don't go there. Go here. You'll be okay. But what do? We go there anyway. I know one of the biggest fears I had in giving my life to Christ was that I would have to let go of things that were important to me. Or at least I thought they were important to me. And as it turned out, I never had to. It just happened. I let them go. And it happened so gradually that I don't even remember saying, go ahead and take it. All of a sudden, I'm looking back and, I don't care about that anymore. I had other things that were occupying my interest, occupying my steps forward. Those things were no longer there that I thought were so important. And you know that the Holy Spirit always triumphs when we choose to cooperate with him. And that's the word, you know, cooperate. He wants us to walk in a path that is good for us. He wants us to walk in a place that we can savor life abundant, right? Isn't that what the word says? And so, but it's up to us. Isn't that wonderful that he gave us a choice? He gave us a way that we could say, no, I don't like it that way. I like it this way. And a lot of times we wind up doing it your way, right? So let's go to Ephesians 5 and 8 through 13. And it says, "For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. I think God's telling us something here. Oh, no, that was Steve. Sorry about that. Okay. Let's start over. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." And now if Katie would put this scale up there. And this is not necessarily any kind of percentages or anything like that, but it's just to give you an idea of something that speaks to me. And you see white, you see gray, and you see black, right? And so for most of us, I'm going to start off with when you first come to Christ, we're all living in the gray. And so we look at the white, and of course, that's where God lives, that's where Jesus lives. And so you know that that's a place that where he is. We've learned about him, most of us already knew. And then you look at the other one, and there's darkness, there's Satan. And it's obvious on the two sides that you shouldn't go there or that you should go there. We know that if we see the dark side and we know that Satan exists, there are things in that dark side that are obvious, you know? And so when we're in that gray, when we first come, the idea is, as that scripture said, we start noticing that the gray now contains a lot of the dark, but we couldn't see it before. As we allow the light to overshadow the gray because of the things that we do, then pretty soon you start seeing that darkness might even become whiter because now you're seeing more of it. And we don't want to go there. And so the purpose of me showing this is that we know what's good, we know what's bad, and yet we accept so much of what's in the middle. A lot of it is because that's where we lived. That's where we've all lived in the gray. And so some of us, even today, are still having issues being in that gray. We see that we still have anger. There's some addiction. There's unforgiveness. There's some things that that's who we are, that's who we've been, and it's hard for us to identify him sometimes because, well, that's just me. Well, that's not where God wants us to stay. He wants his light to overshadow the gray and to that some point, even that black, that darkness is going to be so tiny that we're going to get rid of it totally someday. But in the meantime, we still live on this earth. In the meantime, there are still things that we've got to give up. There are still things that, as I said earlier, that haunt us from the past that we still walk in. And so as we allow the light of Christ to overpower the gray, we get to see how much more we need him. We can't do this without him. We can't get rid of all that junk that we allow throughout our lives to be gone unless we submit to his lead, unless we submit to his Holy Spirit. So as we allow the light of Christ to overpower the gray in our lives, we get to see how much more we need him. And that's what we got to remember. Never, no matter how good your day is going, you're going to need Jesus every day for all things, because we can't do it on our own. So I want to go now to Hebrews 10, 11 and 18. Okay, and it says 11 through 18. Hebrews 10, 11. Okay. And it says, day after day, priest stands and performs his righteous duties again and again. And he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And I want to stop there for a moment, because it says that through the resurrection and the death of Christ, everyone who believed and received him is made perfect. And sometimes I know some of us have a problem with seeing yourself perfect. But in the eyes of God, we are perfect. That moment that we allowed Jesus to be Lord of our lives, God saw us as perfect. But at the same time, it says we continue to be made holy. So even though we are perfect, we are still being made. And so what that means is we are progressively being cleansed and set apart for the special purpose. And so sometimes you can look at that and even use it as an excuse. Okay, well, he's still working on me. Okay. Yes, we are still being made. But this is not an excuse to stay where you are. We are to continue on with this being made part of it. And to not allow for a stagnation to say, well, you know, God loves me. I'm going to heaven. And I know I've got faults. And, you know, because of his grace, I'm okay. That's not the purpose of what this is talking about. He wants to purify us. He wants to take us to places that we at some point really become a reflection of the Son of Jesus. And so don't get stuck in that place of being made. But it's okay to see yourself that if you do have some things to still work through, that God is going to see you through them. There is no condemnation if you're doing some things that aren't quite pleasing to God. Because guess what? As long as you continue to submit, you continue to walk in those things, like I said, all of a sudden in my life, things that I was doing, it just wasn't there anymore. But it's a continued submission. It's a continued realization that you're not in charge and he is. But if you start using that as an excuse, then you're not moving in the direction that he's asking you. You know, it would have been great that from the moment that we gave our life to Christ, everything we did would be pleasing to him. But I don't believe that anyone can say that everything we did is pleasing to God. We all need some growing to take place, so that we are righteous and not only in the eyes of God, but also to those around us. We need to be right with people. And that's what this being made does. Work on those things. You know, if you're still getting angry, if you're still yelling, if you're still doing things that you know they're not pleasing, your spirit tells you. And this is where the things that you have to work on. And so this is a time to learn and saturate ourselves in the presence of God and in His Word, just as these gentlemen brought today. Saturate yourself in that. How will you know? How will you know where to go, what to do, if God's not telling you? Learn to hear His voice. Expect to see the eyes of your heart be opened. This is a time to just open yourself up to hear. And by reading the Word, by spending time with Him, whatever it is that you start seeing that this heart of yours is no longer being run by this guy up here. Holy Spirit has control at that point. So let's go on with 15 and 18 now. Okay, it says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, He says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put My laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And then He adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. You know, when you truly experience the great love that God has for us, you realize that He's not asking that you have to do anything. You don't have to do a thing. We will just want to do it. God doesn't need anything. Will He ever want it? Was your heart. And that's where we are. We need to continue to be given Him our heart. Allow Him to break through those areas that we have closed off for whatever reason. People have hurt us. You know, we've all gone through a time of hurt. We've all gone through a time of maybe even wondering where was God when something was going on. Maybe your trust level, even towards Him, wasn't quite where it should be. And all He's saying is that to continue to trust Him, and He will work on that heart. He will continue to transform that heart to the place that He wants it to be. Let's go to Romans 8, 5 through 9. Says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Oh, I got one more. You, however, that's all you guys here, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Now, you all admitted a little bit earlier that you were Spirit-filled, born-again Christians, right? Well, there you are. You don't belong to anything but Him. And so verse 6 tells us that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And isn't that what we want? I would hope that all of us want to have peace, want to have abundance in life. We want our life to be happy. We want joy. We want all those things that truly are available from God. And so what do we wind up doing sometimes? We wind up worrying. We let stress get to us, frustration. There's all these things that take the focus away from what God really wants for your life. And because you see the natural, you heed more on the things that are going on around you and forget that all you ever had to do was turn your eyes back to Jesus. And the things of this world aren't gonna have the priority in your life. But that's not mostly how we go. And yet you know that the Holy Spirit will never lead us in the wrong path. You know, one day, this flesh that we're looking at today, it'll be gone. And yet our spirit will live for eternity. So should we not be building up our spirit rather than our flesh? Rather than the desires of our flesh? So how do we get this mind of ours to get into its place? You know, this is the problem, is that our spirit knows what he wants, and it's the right thing. And our mind seems to always kind of overshadow that. And so I've got a few scriptures that speak to that. This is a spirit versus mind. So let's go to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. And it says, "For the word of God is alive and active." Aren't you glad? It is active. There's a voice here. There is a voice here. Can we hear it? Can we allow the ears of our heart to hear what this is saying? And the eyes of our heart to see how all this applies. It says that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him who must give account. So, what's in our heart? What are our thoughts? And this is the place that we have to go to. Whatever those are they aligning with the Word of God? If you start looking into this, you're going to find that even though it was written all those many years ago, when it talks, it's talking about today. It's talking about you. It's talking about me. And that's what makes it so believable. You got to believe it, because it's like it can talk to you today as well as it did whenever the scriptures was first put out. And so that's the thing to do. If the Holy Spirit is moving in you and kind of shining a light on something that isn't maybe quite right in your life, that's the place to go. Go to the Bible. See, how does what I'm thinking to do or what I'm wanting to do, how does it align with the Word of God? And of course, if we never open it, we're probably going to make a mistake. And so that is just one way that we can know that where we're going is the right place that we want. And you think about it, if we never open it, then all that's going to be coming into our minds and our hearts is junk, right? Junk in, junk out. You know, that's where you're going to be. If we're not putting godly things into our spirit, into our mind, then our mind's going to think that everything's okay and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, never changing. And this is what this is about, change. I want to change. I want to be different tomorrow than I am today. I am different today than I was yesterday. And I hope we're all going in that direction. And you know what? finally, when my last breath is gone, I bet the day before I made another little change. So it's an ongoing. So let's go with Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What advice, right? If you're looking at what's going on around you, just as I said, then pretty much that's how your world's going to revolve. But here, think about it. Your Lord, that person that is within you, says that he's seated at the right hand of God. Would you rather not have him be leading us and showing us than this guy up here that thinks he knows it all? We're told that the farthest distance from anywhere is from your heart to your head. To get that stuff that's here, to put it up here and convince this guy, this mind of ours, that it's wrong, that's the farthest distance. It takes a while. But here we are. It says, set your minds on things above. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on all those things that that bring goodness into your life. And guess what? If there's something wrong, you're going to know it. The Holy Spirit will show you. And today it might be that he shines a light on a certain part of our walk. Another day will be something else. And it may take a bit, but allow him to keep working in your life. Now let's go with 1 Corinthians 14, 14. And it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Isn't that what I'm talking about? Get that guy out of there. So the idea of praying in the spirit allows us to make that connection with God. And we take ourselves out of that prayer time. We get ourselves out of the way so that God can speak to us through our hearts. Removes our mind and allows the Spirit of God to connect with our spirit. And how can you go wrong if you allow that to happen? One more scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. And it says, however it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And as I said, as we open the eyes and the ears of our heart, and we give our spirit its rightful place, the Holy Spirit will take us to places that we could have never imagined. Sometimes we think that where we are today, where everything's going great, where we have a job, if you call it, we speak or we pray or whatever it is that we're doing in the ministry part of it. And to think that, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We haven't got there yet. We have not got to where God wants to show us, where God wants to take us. And so my last words as the worship team prays, and I'll say a prayer, but all I can tell you is be ready, because the best is yet to come. So I'm going to ask you to stand, if you could, just for a moment. And I'd just like to say a prayer. Father God, show us, Lord. Show us how to not stand in your way, Lord. Show us how to just allow for your spirit to flow through us, to direct us. Open the eyes and ears of our heart, Lord. And Lord, I pray that for every person that's standing here this day, Lord, wherever they find themselves in their journey, those things that that you're showing them, Lord, that need to be deleted from their lives, Lord, and replaced, Lord, with your spirit, Lord. Just as we saw in that scale, Lord, that your light can shine through the gray and into the darkness, Lord. We want your light to shine in each of our hearts, Lord. So, Lord, we bless what you're doing in each one of us, Lord. We give you the freedom, Lord, to work in us, Lord. So we thank you, and as the worship team prays, please stay with us.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.